like to welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning to our worship service. Just a few announcements before we get started with our worship service. In the bulletin, you'll see an insert here. If you visit in or anything, questions or anything, you can check these off or put prayer requests on them, and we'll make sure it gets to the appropriate people. Announcements. Vacation Bible School starts when?
Tonight.
I thought tonight through Thursday night, 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. So be in prayer for that, and we're sure it's going to be a fun and a good time, and that we'll be able to share Christ with some of the people that come. Any other announcements? Any birthdays this last week or today? So Harold will get to sing happy birthday today. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, and the opportunity to gather here on this Father's Day today, Lord. And we do just want to honor our fathers, Lord, and just lift them up and pray for them, Lord, that they will continue to provide the leadership to the families, the godly leadership that is so needed around this country and around this world, Lord. But Lord, we just want to pray for our service today, Lord. We just pray that the songs that we sing, the things that we do, Lord, as we discussed in Sunday school, Lord, that we do it with a submissive and a sincere heart, Lord, that we are here for the right reason, and that is to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Don't fall.
I'm going to move this stuff over.
Getting ready for Bible school. It's always a fun week. Well, it is good to see everybody this morning again. So welcome again, and let's stand this morning, sing hymn 215, and smile and sing real loud. Yeah.
Trees outside and sea.
379. We sing first, second, and last person.
Your kingdom.
Churches and sadly, a lot of churches are even stepping away from Vacation Bible School. Sometimes it's the greatest outreach we can do, and I think we fail to realize the impact on children that we can have if we continue. It is hard work. It is tiring. At the end of this week, everybody's going to be dragging.
But you know what? There is no better feeling than serving God. And I think that is where our reward comes from. I want to say Happy Father's Day to all you men out here today. And if you'll remind me at the end of the service, we have a gift for each man who is here today. And so y'all help me if my mind gets sidetracked, as it often does when I get into the Word of God. And so just help me be aware of that at the end of the service today. I want to start the service today with just kind of my testimony as far as being a father. And this isn't about me, it's about God. But Amy and I were married 8 years before Shane came along. That's why we look so young, amen. We waited till later on to have to have. Anyhow, we had almost given up on having kids. We went to a specialist and all that kind of stuff, and had one miscarriage, and we had got to the place where we had began to think of adopting and had started talking about adoption, and then Shane came along, and so I found myself as he was coming to begin to question a lot of things in my own life. Could I provide for my family? We had decided to wait 5 years before we had a kid because we wanted to make sure things were going to work out for us before we decided to bring a child into our relationship. And so there was that question of provision. I had talked to one of my cousins, and he said, well, if you wait till you can afford to have kids, you will never have a child. And there is a lot of wisdom in those words. But I thought about protecting my family. Could I do that? Could I be patient with my children? Because as my wife will attest to you, there was a time in my life that I didn't have very many patients. I still don't have all I need, amen? But God's still working on me. Could I teach my children to serve the Lord and survive in this world at the same time? That is a hard thing to do. Could I love my child the way that I needed to? Could I be the role model that they could look up to? And the biggest question I had was, could I model Christ for them? Could I be that example that they needed to see? As Shane was born, I remember thinking how blessed I was to have a child that God would allow me to raise, to love, and to train up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I made myself many promises as a young father and as an expectant father of things that I would and would not do to my children. I won't say that I was necessarily in an abusive family. I hope my mom and dad are not listening today. But my mom, at times, could be much a man. If you know what I mean by that, sometimes she would just hit you with whatever she had in her hands. And I promised myself that I would never do my children that way, because it didn't teach discipline, it taught violence. And there's a big difference in that. But I thought about all these promises that I had made, and I failed on many of them, as we all probably have. But at the same time, it has not stopped me from striving to keep the promises I made to myself and made to the Lord. After 7 months of Shane being born, we had another surprise. Cheyenne. She came along, and there's a story to that. We don't have time for all that this morning. But I worked at the sawmill back then and worked night shift, and a friend of mine, we were talking one evening and talking about, you know, having a second child, and I expressed the feeling of how could I love another child as much as I loved Shane. And, you know, his words to me were, when you hold her in your arms for the first time, all those doubts, all those fears will be gone. And you know what? Tommy was right. He told me that. And then 7 years later, we have another present. Here comes Ariel. And here again, all the feelings of love and everything were right there again. Tommy was right once again. I said all that to say this. I've had my ups and downs as a father. I've done good, I've done bad, I've made good choices, I've made bad choices. But I've come to realize in my life, I have nobody to blame for the man, for the husband, and for the father I am today. I have no one to blame for that but myself. Because life throws you all kinds of things. But every single one of us has a choice to make when it comes to living out our lives. I cannot blame the type of father I had or the type of grandfather I had for the man I am today. I have to take responsibility for that, and you have to take responsibility for the man you are, hopefully a man of God, hopefully a husband of God to your wife. But most importantly, since it's Father's Day, are you modeling God to your children? Are you modeling God to your children? And that's not just for men, ladies. I know this is Father's Day. But we should all be examples of God to our children, to our families. With that being said, I want to just read two quick verses to begin with this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore be imitators." Now, some translations use the word mimic, because really that word imitator means to, or imitate means to mimic. I remember years ago, I used to build my own tree stand to hunt out of, and I would get out there in the yard and do some work on it, and I'd sit a wrench down, and I'd turn around, and here Shane was 3 or 4 years old, maybe not even that old. And if I put a wrench down or a hammer down, guess what he would do? He would pick up that tool, and he would do exactly whatever I was doing. Can I tell you, parents, that is how your children see you. If you live for the Lord on Sunday, and you don't live for Monday through Saturday, we're talking about our Sunday school lesson this morning, amen? Why do you think your children think that church is not important? If they don't see us living it out in our lives, why in the world would they decide to live that type of life? We have to mimic our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to, as Paul says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Listen, as I thought about Father's Day, and I thought about all that we are to do as parents, I thought about several things. And the first one is that as a man, I am to be holy before God. I said this Wednesday night, I think, if you were here, maybe some night this week, every day for this friend together. God is not near as concerned about my happiness as he is my holiness. Same way with you. He is more concerned about my holiness. Now, some people say, well, if it makes you happy, do it. God wants you to be happy. Show me that in God's word. God wants me to be holy first, and only then can I have a blessed life. But I cannot be holy before God if I don't have a personal relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. First on the list, I cannot be holy until I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ above all else, or you'll never be the holy man that God would have you to be. But I must also, as a child of God, strive to live a righteous life before my wife and my children. As the God-ordained leader of my family, I must model who God is to them. fathers, you know, the society wants to say you're not important to your family. Matter of fact, I think if society had its way today, there would be no men whatsoever. Amen. You are so important to your family. You may be overlooked. You might feel unappreciated at times, but can I tell you, you are by far the first picture of God your family sees. Because you are to be the one who leads them and guides them. That's why it is so important, and Brother Paul, you would agree, you've probably seen this study too, that if a father comes to know the Lord, there's over a 90% chance that his whole family will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But that percentage goes way, way down when it's just the mother that comes to the Lord first, or the children first. And yet we put such little emphasis on fathers. It's important for the man to be the head of the home. That is a God-ordained responsibility. Even Joshua 24, verse 15, the last part of that verse says, Joshua made a decision for his family, and he says, as for me and my house, that is for me and my wife and my children, we are going to do what? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve him first. We're going to serve him on Sunday. We're going to serve him on Monday. We're going to serve him Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, through the whole week. Not just Sunday. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Daddy needs to make that decision. Don't leave it up to your wise men. Be the man God called you to be. So the question comes, are we truly serving the Lord as men? I'm not just talking about on Sunday mornings. Are we serving the Lord? Are we serving him faithfully throughout the week, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday? Are we serving him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Because here's what I've noticed. There are a lot of fathers who will make sure their children go to school because they want them to have a good education. Nothing wrong with that. There are a lot of fathers who want to make sure their son or daughter is either at football practice or cheerleading. And anymore, I don't know if the guys go to cheerleading or the girls go to football, But anyhow, I'm just saying. Man, they're following your example. If you're not being the daddy and treating mama right, they're seeing that. And it's no wonder there's so much confusion in the world today. But hear me on this. There's so many dads that want their son to be on the football team and at the baseball game, and they'll make sure no matter what, where they gotta go, how much it costs them to go, their son is gonna be at that football game or baseball game. I'm not knocking sports. And I'm not knocking the dads allowing their daughters to go to cheerleading camps. But when you put that ahead of God the Father, when you put that ahead of worshiping God in church, when I was in high school, my parents, they were godly parents. They took us to church. I was not allowed to do weightlifting in school. I could lift weights. I just couldn't be on the weightlifting team. Why? I resented it back then, but it's because most all the weightlifting meets were held on Wednesday nights. And guess where I was going to be on Wednesday nights? I was going to be in church, and I resented that. Now I appreciate that. Listen, are we imitating God on a daily basis? But also realize that as a husband, my primary responsibility and my first responsibility other than loving God first is to love my wife. I'm to love my wife. If you look down to verse 23 of chapter 5 in Ephesians, it tells us that we are to be the head of our wives. Now, I don't want this to be misunderstood, but to be the head of my wife does not mean that I'm abusive to her. It's not that I can be a tyrant or be a boss. It means that I am to love her. And if I love her in the way that I'm supposed to love her, she will respect me. Amen? Because it also gives the command that not only do am I supposed to be the head of my wife, but I'm to love her. And as I love her, I am to love her in such a way that it is as if Christ loved the church. Now let's look on down here. Because I don't want you to miss this. I don't take my word for it. Let's take God's word for it. Amen. Verse 22. Well, let's get to verse 23. For the husband is head of wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Let's look down to verse 25. Husbands, what does it say to you? Husbands, love your wives. And then it gives a qualifying statement here. It says, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, cleanse her with the washing water by word. Here's the question, men. Husbands, are you loving your wife the way Christ loved the church? Are you loving her that in such a way that you are loving her unconditionally? Because there's so many thoughts today. Well, you know, if she's not pleasing you, and she's not this, and she's not that, then well, okay. Let's just back up a minute. If I love her the way that I'm supposed to love her, she's going to love me, she's going to respect me. She's going to follow me. Maybe there's a reason that so many families don't survive today. It's for one very simple reason. I think about this. When I first got married, I thought it was a 50-50 relationship. How many of y'all thought the same thing? Come on, man, am I the only one? I know I'm not. If you think it's a 50-50 relationship, that means you're only giving 50% of yourself to the relationship. And if both of you are only giving half of what you should be giving to the relationship, maybe that's why it's falling apart. Now I would say that after being married 36 years, that it is a 100% and a 100% relationship. But you know what? The fairy tale ends right here, because the reality is there's times I might have to give 200% and Amy can only give zero. And there may come a day where she might have to give 200% and I can give zero. There may be times when she's able to give 100% and I'm able to give 100%. But you see, the reality of that is that it takes two people giving everything they've got to make a relationship work. Husbands, if you're only giving 50% of yourself to your relationship, maybe that's why it's not working out like you want it to. Amen? We are to be a model of Christ to our wives, our children. If I look down at verses 28-29, it tells me that I am to love. Well, let's just read. Verse 28 says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own what? As their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nurtures it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. You want your relationship with your wife to be better, to be stronger. Love her the way Christ loved the church. Love her the way Christ loved the church. Can I tell you this also? Point number three. Fathers, don't forget that you have a great responsibility. And I kind of alluded to that a while ago. You're an unsung hero in the home, especially in today's America. You're so valuable. people, your children, your wife need to have you there. You are the rock, you are the provider, you are the sustainer, you're all those things, just like God is to the church, as Christ is to the church. But you have responsibilities. It's not just mama's job to train your children. Can I get a witness? It's not just mom's responsibility to train your children. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord." What does it mean to not provoke your children? Here's the thing that provokes a child more than anything, is for a parent to tell them, "You do this." Have you ever heard a father say, "No, child, you better not ever smoke"? And what do they have in their hand? Smoking. They tell them not to ever drink, and what does daddy have in his hand? A drink. You want to provoke your child? Tell them to do something that you're not doing yourself. Tell them to live for the Lord when you're not living for the Lord yourself. Drop them off at church so that they can come be under the Word of God while you're out fishing or whatever you're doing, playing around with golf. You're to teach your children. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's not just for the guy, that's for the girls too. Children will turn from the Lord from time, but I ran from God. I was saved at 7. By the time I was 17, I was running from God. I was Jonah. God said go, and I said no. Not proud of it. I've told y'all that already. But as a parent, if you have a child that has turned from the Lord and is running from God, don't give up. Keep praying. Train your children. We're also to teach our children. Malachi 2:15 says, But what did he not make them? One having a remnant of the Spirit, and while one he seeks God with offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. What does God desire from his people? According to Malachi 2:15. Godly offspring. How are they going to learn to be godly if mom and daddy's not showing it to them? There are some people, you know this, I know there's teachers here, educators. There's some students that can read a book and tell you how to do anything. There are some kids that cannot learn by reading, but they can see somebody do something and they can go right behind them and pick it up and do it. There are some people like me that you could give a lifelong music lessons to, and I'd never even be able to turn on the radio in the car. Amen. But there's other people that can look at an instrument, pick it up in 15 minutes, be playing it better than anybody. There are people who are like me. But here's what we've got to do. We've got to, Deuteronomy 6, we don't have time this morning to read through, but we're to teach them. We're to teach them. We're supposed to teach them when we rise up, when we lie down. We're supposed to, as we're coming, as we're going, we are to teach them. But we're not supposed to just teach them by the words we speak. We are to teach them by the life we live. And if we're not living it out in front of them, how can they know how to live? We need to be that example for them. Fathers, we're also to discipline our children. We are to discipline our children. Proverbs 19:18 says that we are to chasten. I'll skip over verse, sorry. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." And y'all hang on for a minute, okay? Because I'm going to throw out these verses and then I'm going to clarify. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29:17, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. I said I was going to clarify this. I'm not saying that the Bible tells you to abuse your child. That is not what it is saying. So don't run out there and say that preacher's an abusive person. No. If I don't teach my kid discipline, then I'm going to have a child whose penal system's going to end up dealing with. If I don't teach them while they're young and teach them that there is a right and that there is a wrong, that there is a higher authority that I'm going to have to answer to, you follow me to here now when I talk about Father's the first picture of God the Father? Because there's love, there's protection, there's provision, there's discipline in knowing that, hey, there is a right and there is a wrong, and that there is somebody that I'm going to have to answer to. That's why kids nowadays, they don't see wrong anything wrong with doing whatever they want to do. Because today's society tells them they're victims, when it's really a choice. But that choice starts in the home with fathers, with husbands, with dads, doing what God has called them to do. Discipline brings with it a humbling of the spirit. It shows the love of God to our children. You say, how do you figure that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. If you turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I said that because the Bible tells me that if I'm a child of God, God is going to discipline me. When I do wrong, God is going to discipline me. Why? Because God loves me. God is not going to let me go headstrong, foolhardy, He will ultimately allow me to destroy myself if I'm not careful. But here's the thing. Look with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and look down at verse 5. This is what it says. He says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he does what? He chastens or disciplines. Now, it says, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Why don't we have respect in society today? Maybe it's because there's no discipline. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live, for whom they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now their chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We'll just stop right there. Here's my thought. A true loving father wants his child to do right. Amen. God, our Father, if you're a child of God, he wants you to do right. God will allow you to do certain things. He allows you to make choices, but ultimately every choice has a what?
A consequence.
Every choice has a consequence. Here again, you know, in Sunday school, if you're not in Sunday school, you need to get in Sunday school, amen? But the reality of it is simply this. God loves us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to honor him, to respect him, to be obedient to him. All of us as parents, when we tell our children to do something, what do we expect them to do? And if they don't do it, what do we do? If you let them have your way, the next time you tell them to do something, they're not going to do it. Sooner or later, you've got to get their attention. And that's what I'm talking about, discipline here, training. But it also comes down to modeling. If I'm not modeling obedience to my children, why are they going to be obedient to me? Why are they going to be obedient to you? You see, the question for us today, not just as fathers, but as mothers, is the question, am I imitating God? Am I imitating God? Am I loving him the way that I should? Am I loving my wife as I should? Am I loving my children as I should? Because all that comes together. It's a package deal. Am I showing them the love of God in my life? Can I just tell you this? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can never model God to them. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Give your life to him. Let him be Lord of your life. That's the first decision you need to make today. But know this. We've all had earthly fathers who have loved us, and maybe they've left us. The good thing about a relationship with God is he's promised us in Hebrews 13:5 that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Are we loving God the way we should? Are we loving our wives as we should? Are we loving our children as we should? My next question is simply this. Can you honestly for the Lord today, said that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you can't say that, the first thing you need to do is step up to the plate today and say, Lord, I give my life to you. You don't know how to do that. At the time of invitation, we start saying, step out, and I'll do my best to show you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But others of us would have to say, you know what? Whether we're a father or a mother, we would have to maybe admit this morning that I haven't always been the model that I needed to be. I haven't always imitated Christ the way that I needed to. And maybe today we just need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I admit that I've done wrong, and I ask for your forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But here's the other thing. When we confess our sins, it's not to get back into the same routine and keep sinning the same sin. It is to be set free so that we can do the things God has called us to do. To be men and women of God. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for our fathers. We thank you for those who have led us and who have guided us. Thank you for our mothers as well. Lord, maybe for the one who is here today who has died and never trusted Christ as my Savior. Lord, let that day be today. people, no more, we've all messed up. There's not a perfect Father here other than you. So Lord, I pray that you just have your way in our hearts and lives, and whatever decisions we need to make, Lord, we would be men. Step up to the plate and do what is right. To be bold about our faith, to be bold about our relationship with Christ, to love our wives as we should, to love our children and train them, Lord, so that they can see you through us. Lord, whatever decisions we need to make today, whatever prayers we need to pray, whatever decisions and commitments we need to make, Lord, I pray that you'd be honored through our obedience. Lord, have your way. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.